Greater Sandton and beyond. Get ready for the Sandton Times Hour.
With your host,
Alexander.
Ladies and gentlemen, everyone in between and beyond, this is the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and is always available on all good podcast platforms. I'm Alexander Leibner and this is edition 115. It's week 21 of 2023. It's still May and I'm excited to be with you again. If you would like to send through your questions, your comments, your feedback, your input, you can do so by using the email address editor@sandtontimes.co.za. You can also use social media at Sandton Times or visit the website www.sandtontimes.co.za. And if you're listening live on Mix 93.8 and not on the podcast delayed, well, the WhatsApp line is open for you on 0848220938, 0848220938. That's the Mix 93.8 WhatsApp line. Save it to your phone. It's always handy and you can always use that. A special welcome to everyone listening in Johannesburg and Pretoria, across South Africa, or anywhere else in the world, online or on air, wherever you are. I'm happy to report that all is well in Sandtonland, even though it is getting a little bit chillier, little bit colder. Just start sitting here with our jackets in studio to try and stay warm. I'm joined once more by my man behind the mixing desk, Vincenzo. It's good to have you here again. And how do you enjoy the Backstreet Boys? Yeah? Had a good night? Yeah, I also had a good one, I must say. This past weekend, it was quite surreal. I mean, when was it? Early 90s, the Backstreet Boys came out. And I must say, when the concert started, I was a bit worried because I thought, wow, these people are like in their late 40s, beginning of their 50s, like 2 hours of singing and then doing these very 1990s dance routines, which I think must have been much more fun when they were younger, in their teens and in their early 20s. Now at 40 and 50, I don't know if it was as easy to do. But let me tell you, what a tremendous concert. These guys did such an incredible job. I mean, I got to see what I only found out on the night was the last performance of this 218 city / country tour that they did around the world. So it was the last one. They wrapped it up in South Africa. I thought that was quite special. And I think everybody who was there had an absolutely tremendous time. What a show, what a performance. It was really fantastic. Well, it's been an arts-filled week for me that I've had to go through. And apart from the Backstreet Boys, there was also A Night Under the Stars at Steyn City, which saw the evening kick off with an unveiling of a bronze bust of the Steyn City visionary and founder Do Steyn. Carolyn Steyn, she unveiled that at the art gallery there. And then before we knew it, there was a burst of entertainment for the rest of the night. I mean, I saw Sibom Tongana, celebrity chef Sibom Tongana, Vota Kellerman, the Grammy award-winning Vota Kellerman, he was there. So many well-known faces. Mikasa performed. There was a tremendous opera performance from one of the balconies there. I mean, they went all out, as only Steyn City can. They really laid it on. It was the most magical evening. I think probably one of the most beautiful evenings that I've had post-pandemic. Everything felt like it had slowed down during the pandemic or completely ended. Then we came back and it's been sort of like, you know, drips and drabs, but that was really something really special. And they kind of launched their city center. You know, they've got like sort of a city center that they've built. Vincenzo almost looks like a little bit like, I don't know, parts of Italy or something. But very nice. Very, very nice. Well, what are we doing this week? We're doing something a little bit different. I'm going to be taking you on a journey with me through some of our neighboring countries. Yep. I had the chance to take a break and visit Zimbabwe, Zambia, Namibia, and Botswana, and bring back some interesting travel content to share with you, both obviously on the different platforms at the Sandton Times, but also with you on radio. So, coming up on this week's show, we start our journey heading up to the Victoria Falls, which you can do by train through Zimbabwe and stay on the Zimbabwean side, or head over to Livingstone and stay on the Zambian side. I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. Then Livingstone in Zambia is seeing some major development when it comes to travel and tourism post the pandemic. And I'm going to share some more details on that. Then after that, we travel across the border to Namibia to take you on a boat cruise up the Chobe River. This is something magical. And you got to stay tuned for that. And finally, I wrap up a very interesting and beautiful trip in Botswana. This and more will be coming up shortly in the next hour. So let's dive headfirst into the week's expedition. But first, let's get into the mood with a bit of music.
Promote your brand. Advertise your business.
Our audience could be your next client. Contact the Sandton Times today.
The latest news.
The biggest names.
The best destinations.
The hottest entertainment. This is the Santon Times Hour.
This is the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8 with Alan by Wes. Kicking off our journey up to the Victoria Falls. And the best time to visit the Victoria Falls is between February and May. So if you are looking to do that sometime, do so during those months, because it's directly after the summer rains and you'll probably see the world's largest sheet of falling water flowing at its greatest volume. It's 1.7 kilometers long and it is majestic to see the Zambezi River tip over the edge and create a combination of mist, smoke, and a roar as the water crashes into the abyss, which is 108 meters below. It's magical. If you've never done it, let me tell you. It's got the nickname The Smoke That Thunders for very good reasons. And, you know, if you are in Africa, if you are of Africa, along with climbing Kilimanjaro, let me tell you, being showered in the mist and spray of the Victoria Falls has to be one of those bucket list adventures you have to do. So make sure you add that to your dream list, to your travel list, whatever list you've got to do this. So there are two options of getting to the Victoria Falls. You can either fly into Victoria Falls on the Zimbabwe side, or you can fly into Livingstone on the Zambia side, or you can even take a train trip on the Rovos Rail. They have a four-night journey, and it adds a bit of romance and a bit of adventure to the trip, taking the train option. And I must say, I took the Rovos Rail down to Cape Town a couple of years back. This was all before the pandemic. And let me tell you, it's an experience that you will never forget. I mean, Rohan Vos and his family who run the Rovos Rail, it's a magical story. I can't even get into it. And I actually want to get Rohan on one of these days, Vincenzo, because we need to chat to this man. He has the most incredible passion for trains, for train travel, and has added something so spectacular to our travel and tourism fiber in South Africa with having the Rovos Rail. But on the Victoria Falls itinerary, it is a journey which takes you back in time. I mean, it's you head up to the little station of Victoria Falls on the Zimbabwe side, which was first reached by railway in 1904. So you kind of follow that same journey up to the Victoria Falls. And you can expect to stay in some gorgeous rooms which have full-on bathrooms. I mean, there is nothing spared in terms of the luxuries you could ask for. There's this superb dining experience that you get to go through: breakfast, lunch, supper, all-inclusive. I think it's three or four courses every single time. And what's quite special about dinner is that you're encouraged, or you're asked, or you have to wear a suit and tie. Ladies obviously wear a dress or a gown or whatever it is that you prefer, but it's very very premium, and it's just one of those experiences you have to do. It's very special. As you make your way up to the Victoria Falls, there are a few stops on the way. You stop off at the Mutobo National Park, which is a World Heritage Site which has Bushman caves, Bushman paintings, rock art, and dramatic granite hills. It's quite amazing looking at the landscape in that particular park. And it's also the site where many people might know Cecil John Rhodes' grave is situated on top of the summit of Malindizimu. I hope I pronounced that correct, which translates into the Hill of Benevolent Spirits, and is also the site of a view of the world, or world's view. And let me tell you, it's the most spectacular sight from up there. If you want to experience that, that is also quite a remarkable piece of history that you can explore. You'll also travel along one of the world's longest stretches of straight railway line. It's 114 kilometers in Zimbabwe, and before you traverse the Hwange National Park, and there's also a game drive excursion there. Once again, you get off the train and you get to do that, which is pretty cool. And if you've never explored Southern Africa by rail, well, let me tell you, the Rovos Rail is really a national treasure, like I said, and it's a very scenic and romantic way to see our part of the world. And I know that they do excursions into all kinds of different parts of South Africa. So arriving in Livingstone, we headed to the Royal Livingstone by Anantare, which is an institution on its own. It's been in the area for many, many years. It's one of those addresses that everyone knows in Livingstone. And you can expect to bump into zebras and giraffes that freely roam the hotel lawns. And the lawn looks out onto the Zambezi River, and you can even see the smoke and the mist of the Victoria Falls from the terrace when you have breakfast or dinner, and that's how close you are to the actual falls itself. And the hotel has also got really easy and complimentary access to the Victoria Falls. It's a few minutes walk through the gardens of the hotel, and you can actually get there quite easily. And they've also launched a brand new Boma experience with local Zambian entertainment and food. And I had the pleasure of attending the grand opening of the Boma, surprisingly, with the Minister of Tourism of Zambia sitting at the table next to us, which I really wasn't expecting. And let me tell you, the Boma just provides a really great insight into the culture and traditions of Zambia, some things that I had never seen before. And it was really, really quite something special. Well, the hotel is just one of those places you need to make a plan to go see when you head up to see the Victoria Falls. And I'm going to share all the details on the Sandton Times website right after the show. Let's take a quick break, and our journey continues right after this.
You're listening to the Sandton Times Hour. The best of talk and music in 1 hour. This is the Sandton Times Hour.
This is the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and available on all good podcast platforms. Well, our journey around the Victoria Falls continues, and now we head to one of the newest hotels and resorts to have opened in Livingston on the Zambezi River, and that is the Radisson Blu Mosi-Oatunya Livingston Resort. Once again, I hope I pronounced that correctly, but, you know, here we go. It is a truly gorgeous development and probably one of the sexiest spaces in the area, bringing a slice of modern paradise to the Livingston town. And Sean Wheeler is the general manager, and he had been the general manager of the Radisson Blu here in Sandton. So that was the last time I had seen him. So I kicked off my chat with him by asking him how he ended up in Livingston.
Well, I wanted the opportunity to do an opening. I haven't done an opening in quite a while. I've done a lot of hotel refurbishments and then reopenings, but not a complete one from the start. In fact, it's been quite a few years. The last one was also in Sandton, was the old Cullinan in Rivonia, quite a few years back. But this is an opportunity for us, for Radisson, because it's a new brand for Radisson, but it's also a new brand for Africa, being a Radisson Blu Safari Resort. And we only have one in Africa, and we opened the first one in the Middle East only in October last year. So this is new for us.
We're sitting in the middle of the resort. I mean, we're looking at the swimming pool, we're looking at the Zambezi River, we've got palm trees, we've got stretchers, we've got a restaurant, we've got a very tropical experience around us. Tell us a little bit more about the resort.
The palm trees in that are actually natural to the area. They're actually quite a lot, both on this side of the Zambezi in Zambia, as well as in Zimbabwe. Everything here is natural. Even when we built this resort, this particular building sits over, that we're in now, sits over 2 hectares. In the process, we moved 11 trees in order to get it, and we've saved 9. Every plant and every tree in here is completely Zambia. The Zambezi is in front of you, as you said, and the Marumba is also quite a famous river, is on the other side of the property. But a great setting, but just very different to any other hotel or resort that we have with Radisson.
What makes it so different?
It's large in the sense of not only a number of rooms, it's 200, which is a medium-sized property, but it just the amount of facilities that it's got. We have our own river cruise of the boat that goes out daily up the Zambezi for sunset cruise. We have a very large spa with rim flow pool on the third floor. We have large sport facilities, putt-putt, tennis, basketball, volleyball, soccer can be done on various parts of the property. We have large conferencing facilities and meeting facilities and boardrooms. We have a number of bars. We have the main bar, the Shungu bar and deck. We have the pool bar. We have the adventure bar on the boat. And we're currently busy with the Zambezi bar, which is another bar that will take place in our new garden setting. And then we have lots of space to do events outdoor. Garden settings, lawn settings, just a lot of variety of places to do and interact with nature.
Well, if you're listening to this and you're trying to paint a picture of what this looks like, we're going to put up all the information up on the Sandton Times. You can hop onto the sandtontimes.co.za, check out the pictures, check out the videos that we've taken, and get a sense of where we are and where this conversation is happening. Now, Sean, this is by far probably one of the biggest investments in Livingston, if not Zambia, in terms of hospitality investments.
This is one of the largest investments in Africa. Total project is built at a cost of $94 million. It is a large resort. We sit over 16 hectares where we are. lots of swimming pools. We have, besides the pool at the spa, there's a kiddies pool and a main pool on the main pool deck. Plenty of lounges and pergolas for one to relax. And then we have another swimming pool at the kids' club itself and a kids' dining room as well. So we're very much geared towards the leisure market, very much towards family, leisure. And we focus a great deal on local, Zambian business, as well as regional. And for us, regional is anything in Africa, including South Africa. And then international is anything outside of South Africa. But predominantly focused on leisure. However, we do have, in certain times of the year, a large conference component. But what we try and do is separate the two, ring fence conferencing away, from the leisure style. But it's just a very big resort.
You've just mentioned it. I'm glad you've mentioned that. In terms of South Africa, it is just under 2 hours that you can be in Livingstone from Johannesburg if you're flying out of Johannesburg, and it is so close. I mean, it's like flying to Cape Town essentially, and it feels like there is a boom of some sort happening in Livingstone. It feels like there's a lot of activity and a lot of happenings. Am I reading that correctly?
No, you're reading that correctly. I think, COVID, like in any destination, had its impact. Prior to COVID, there was still a large amount of South African airlines that were flying in here, which unfortunately are no longer in the market. We are currently waiting for a South African airline to confirm flights to resume shortly. But at the moment, we do have Airlink that comes in and out of South Africa daily. There is another airline coming in that will reposition ourselves with flights coming out of Johannesburg and Cape Town, hopefully within the next month. But that hasn't been officially announced yet. But the town itself is expanding. It's going back. It's starting to build new businesses. We've got new franchises coming out. There are a couple of new South African franchises that are moving back in that left during COVID, and some new ones. But the city itself is clean. Big initiative on cleaning the city. There's now a big greening initiative where we're going to go and green whatever. The city is green, but we're going to green it further and just tidy up curb spaces. As I said, we've dealt with the litter. So it's very much a community-focused thing, but new buildings for the first time going up, yeah, new businesses opening up. We have an old shopping center that's about to reopen. So, and everything is really going to be focused around tourism. And as the demand increases, hopefully we'll get more and more airlines in. But yes, we're starting to see quite a substantial change in a short period of time, because we've just come out of what we call our rainy season, and we're going into now where traditionally we'd have more of an international clientele base. But it's also very much supported by regional, and in particular South Africa.
Amazing. Well, if you're also listening, you can hear a lot of helicopters flying around us.
Yeah.
This is a daily occurrence here in Livingstone, also both on the Zimbabwe and the Zambia side here, where you've got people flying over the Victoria Falls, which is probably the biggest attraction in this area. I mean, that's the one thing you want to come and see if you're coming to this part of the world. You've opened this hotel in January.
Yeah.
So I'm thrilled that we're probably one of the first people to come and have a look at this from South Africa. What has that been like, having to get a hotel and a resort off the ground and having only been open for a couple of months?
Look, I think there are a couple of things with this particular resort. Is the fact that this resort was built in the middle of COVID, and it continued to be built, and it took us just under 2 years to build, which is quite good considering the size of the property. It has its challenges because of the remoteness of where we are. We are obviously very close to Zimbabwe and very close to Botswana, but most of what comes through either Botswana or through Zim, and not directly from South Africa. No, it was a challenge. It was a challenge getting some goods in, and some goods, because of COVID, could not come on time, especially stuff like furniture. That imported furniture would come in, land in Cape Town, and then have to come in, but huge delays. But it didn't delay our opening. In fact, we opened a little bit earlier than what we had originally anticipated. There were some initial things. The owners wanted to open a little bit earlier than that. But, logistically, we needed to get through COVID. Otherwise, we've been very quiet. But no, we haven't had any bumps, put it that way. It is fairly remote, even though it is in Livingstone.
Yeah. Mm. For people who've never been to the area, what are some of the main attractions that you can recommend? What can people expect to do if they come here for a break or for a holiday?
Well, the first thing I want to say is that, and this has been a debate for a long time, the Vic Falls is actually in Zambia. So the actual falls is in Zambia, and you can see it from the Zim side. And the water falls over from Zambia into the falls and falls down and goes into Zimbabwe. So let's be clear. The Vic Falls...
Let's put that to rest.
Yes, put that to rest is in Zambia. Besides that, look, there is... one can do helicopter rides. One can do micro lighting. One can go horseback riding in the park. One can go to the park itself. There are various museums, various markets. One can go White River rafting. We have a steam train that goes between Zambia and Zimbabwe, or between Livingston and Vic Falls. There's plenty to do. You name it, the activities here. A town that is coming up quite nicely. There's lots of bars. There's quite a few nightclubs. Restaurants are coming up now more than they have. We've had two open in the last 2 weeks. So it's exciting times. But again, I mean, most people come for the Vic Falls, or they come for the park. Or go across for the day, across to Vic Falls, see the falls from the other side, and, you know, come back. But there's plenty to do. Plenty to do.
Well, Sean, I think it's definitely a place to come visit, and congratulations on your beautiful new hotel and resort. And I encourage everyone listening to make a plan to come and see you, check it out online. And Sean Wheeler, it's been a pleasure chatting to you and catching up with you again.
Thank you very much.
That was my chat with Sean Wheeler, General Manager of the Radisson Blu Mosio Atunya Livingston Resort, on location. And I encourage you to go take a look if you're looking for a fresh new escape, or maybe a long weekend getaway, or maybe even an incentive or company excursion. That's something quite different and not too far from South Africa. It's the bottom of the hour. It's time to take some music and more of the Santon Times Hour right after this.
More? The Santon Times Hour continues.
You're listening to the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8 with Sunshine by Dario G, taking you into the second half of the Santon Times Hour. My name is Alexander Leipner, and if you're new to the show and you don't know how this works, well, you've listened to something on the show, you've heard something intrigued you, and you don't know what the information was, or you can't remember what we spoke about. Well, everything is going to be up on the Santon Times. So you go to www.santontimes.co.za, click on this week's show notes, and you get all the details. Breakdowns, contact numbers, website addresses, whatever it is, names of people, it's all there and easy to access. Also, be sure to check out the social media accounts at Santon Times, and feel free to engage, send a tweet, a DM, a WhatsApp, a voice note, whatever works for you, and you can also use the hashtag Santon Times Hour. Now, our journey continues along the Zambezi River this week in Zambia to a new property managed by Tinswalo Lodges. And if you know Tinswalo, it's really an exquisite collection of family-owned, managed properties here in South Africa. They've now added this latest addition to their collection, and it's a truly premium African experience that I can't even begin to describe, to be quite honest. Imagine these islands in the Zambezi River. So you've got this massive body of water flowing, and in the river, there are these different smaller islands surrounded by wildlife. And these islands are then connected by wooden swinging bridges and accessible only by speedboat that navigates the corners and side streams of the mighty Zambezi to get there. It's quite something else. I sat down with the general manager of Tinswalo at Siyankaba, also known as the Islands of Siyankaba. His name's Simon Vuvunga, and we started chatting about the lodge and what makes it so unique.
Well, I would tell you one thing, which is for sure, is that this is the only island lodge along the Zambezi River. So it's got that uniqueness that, it offers a different feel as well. You are closer to the river, and you get the serenity, the tranquility, as one of the things that we sell as a lodge. Yeah, so it's outstanding, because you go to other places, for you to reach to where the river is, you have to walk distances, but here it's just like right on the river, on the banks of the Zambezi River.
Absolutely true. I mean, when we arrived here, there's a reception, but then shortly after the reception, you get onto a bit of a speedboat,
yes,
and you're taken on a sort of 3 to 5 minute journey up the Zambezi River to get to the islands. The lodge is on two different islands.
It's on two separate islands, the one that holds the main area and the one that holds the seven tented rooms.
And who do you find has been coming to the lodges? Who's sort of your main audience?
I would say we have a lot of international tourists, and more from America of late. But Europeans and other continents are flocking in as well.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. And what kind of activities do you offer at the lodge?
So we've got in-house activities. One of them, which is the most common one that people love, is the sunset cruise. We've got also the sunrise cruise, which is not very popular because people don't want to wake up early in the morning. We've got the bamboo bike riding. We've got the nature walk. We've got the Mokoro trip, or the dugout canoe trip in a small boat. yeah, around the island. And then we've got the village walk, which helps you to see 2-3 villages. And then you can actually use that as another activity to come down with a dugout canoe downstream.
Amazing.
Yeah, we've got the bird watch if you're a big birder as well. Yeah, so that's what we offer here.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now, under the Tintswalo brand now,
yes.
What have been some of the changes, some of the developments, some of the plans for the lodge going forward?
The developments have been that, as you've seen, the main area on the island, the lounge looks different. That's not how it was before. You know, they brought in new finishes, they brought in new fittings. When you go to the rooms, before the rooms had the canvas tents, but now they put in aluminium doors, which gives you a nice view of the river. You know, you wake up with that beautiful sunrise in the morning. So those are the most, visible changes that Tintswalo did.
And also decoratively, I mean, they've really brought in that Tintswalo look and feel into the surroundings.
Yeah, we've got a very special lady, Gay, who's very good at decorating, and immediately she came here, she knew what she wanted and she knew where to place everything, you know. And she brought in all these decors that you see around here, and it just turned the place and made it more magnificent.
Well, you spoke about the relationship early on, about between the village and the lodge.
Yes.
You know, asking for the piece of land, and obviously when it was first built. But that relationship with the village continues to this day. There's still a lot of interaction and a lot of involvement by the local village in the lodge.
I should say the coming in of Tintswalo hasn't really changed a lot of things, because they also have a perspective of supporting the community. They're into the community as well. So the relationship actually has been strengthened as well, because they've brought in incentives that will help even the local people even more. So the local people and, like I mentioned before, that most of the staff come from the village. So they've continued that legacy, and it's really helping the lodge and helping the community as well. Benefiting every one of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting to the lodge, I mean, apart from the last bit, which is by speedboat, but getting to the lodge in general, how do people normally get here?
Well, normally what happens is that once they land at the airport, if they're international guests.
That's Livingston Airport.
They have to be couriered by a transfer company that brings them to the lodge.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, yeah. And that's a very interesting point, because, I mean, Livingston Airport is just over 90 minutes from Johannesburg, so it's not a far place to fly to.
Also,
you've got all the activities that you can do in Livingston. I mean, Livingston's also expanded quite a bit.
Very much. I mean, there are a lot of activities. I mean, apart from the falls being magnificent and one of the activities that guests come to see here, you know, we've got other places as well where you can do helicopters, you can do the Devil's Pool, you know, etc. Too many things that you can do in Livingston. And once they've got that town excursion, they've got a lot of, you know, varieties of activities to do in town.
Which is super exciting. And I think the rand to the kwacha at the moment is almost 1-to-1, give or take. So at least people kind of have a bit of a sense that they're not having to overextend themselves in euros or dollars or whatever else.
It's amazing what is happening to the kwacha as well, because the exchange difference now, you know, is very parity. It's not giving other people thinking, oh, I'm losing or I'm gaining. It's really like on at par, so which is really great for us, you know, and for the tourists as well.
And I mean, we're right at the borders here of I think Botswana and Namibia is not too far from here.
No, it's not.
On the cruise, we're also going to be able to see the Zimbabwe side and some
of the game.
Actually,
the national park, so on the other side, just a kilometer away from where we are is Zambezi National Park on the Zimbabwean side. And there you are able to see the big four of the animals. And if you're lucky, you spot, you know, one of the best sites of game. You can have lions there, you know, drinking by the banks of the river, elephants, etc. And there are a lot of animals that you can be able to spot. Of course, when we go out on the sunset cruise, there's a special place for the island we call Hippo Island, where hippos are always there waiting for you to say hi.
There was Simon Vuvunga, general manager of Tintswalo at Siyankaba, also known as the Islands of Siyankaba. And he mentioned those dugout canoe trips. And let me tell you, I actually took a stab at it. And if you've never done it before, it's this hand-carved wooden canoe made out of a solid piece of tree. It's a traditional mode of transport in the area. And you get to sit in a chair. They give you a life jacket just in case, although they've never lost anybody in one of these things. But you get a life jacket, you sit in your canoe with your hat and your sunglasses, and then you've got someone who basically paddles you up and down the Zambezi River whilst standing. So it kind of almost sounds a bit like an African version of a Venetian gondola, Vincenzo. But it's quite a fantastic way of seeing the Zambezi and being part of nature. And just, it's just really, I mean, honestly, you just get taken back to a different time and place. It is really just magical. And apart from obviously seeing the sunset over the Zambezi River with a gin and tonic in hand, or even having a lunch on one of the many islands in the river, which is also something you should do if you visit Tinswalo there. There are just so many different experiences that you can do that is just so out of the ordinary. And I promise I'll be putting up some more content up on the website and on the different social media channels on the Sandton Times in the coming weeks, so you can get a full picture of what we experienced.
From Greater Sandton to the rest of the world, this is the Sandton Times Hour.
So as our journey continues through Southern Africa, we left Zambia by car, headed towards the Botswana border, which was quite an interesting experience. And as you might know, there's an incredible bridge that's been built there. It opened in 2021. It's the Kazungula Bridge, and it connects Zambia to Botswana, and it opened in 2021. It's a $260 million development between Botswana, Zambia, and the African Development Bank, who financed it, and it is remarkable. And if to put it into context, I mean, this is also the point where four different countries come together. So you've got Zimbabwe, Zambia, Botswana, and Namibia that kind of cross at that point, and it is just a beautiful bridge. But back in the days when the bridge wasn't there, trucks had to get onto these sort of pontoons. It would take forever if there was too much rain, if the river was too strong. It would just be absolute chaos at this border point. And now all of that has been removed, and you've got this incredible bridge that takes you into Botswana. From there, it was a short drive. So we checked into Botswana. Then we checked out of Botswana again because we got onto the Chobe River, and then checked into Namibia. So it's a little bit of a confusing exercise because at some points you're not quite sure which country you're in at what point. But anyway, we checked into Namibia. We got onto a tender speedboat. Dominique, who was our incredible guide during our time that we were staying there, took us to what is the Zambezi Queen. And the Zambezi Queen, well, we're going to talk about that right now because it is an experience and a half. And if you ever get a chance to do it, if your company is looking for somewhere to take your executive team, if you want to make a special holiday break, well, this is the one. Sean Kritzinger, he's the CEO of the Zambezi Queen Collection. And Sean, it's great to have you on the Sandton Times Hour.
Thanks, Alex. Thanks for the opportunity to chat.
Well, Sean, I mean, I'm thrilled to be chatting to you because it is an incredible experience, the Zambezi Queen. It's on the Chobe River. It flows along the northeast edge of the Botswana Chobe National Park. And it's a luxury floating hotel on the Chobe River. And Sean, maybe to give us some context, tell us a little bit about the history about the Zambezi Queen.
Initially, it was a barge that that lay on the banks of the Chobe River. And this barge in the old days was used to move cattle and foodstuffs from Katima Malilo to Kasika and to Kasani, especially the Namibian side, through the man-made Kasai Channel, which you would have seen probably when you went to one of the immigration points. So the access to get from the Chobe to the Zambezi is normally via some rapids, so which is more tricky to maneuver. So this Kasai Channel was made about 20, 30 years ago, and this barge was used. And then two entrepreneurs in the last about 14 years ago, they decided to use this barge to better use and decided to build the Zambezi Queen. After a couple of years after they built it and they ran it for a few years, we got involved and bought it from them and turned it into a fantastic venture and added a number of other products to it as you experience the Chobe Princesses and also the Chingo Lodge.
Well, I'm going to paint listeners a picture because if you can't imagine what this looks like, and we're going to put up all the pictures on the website. So if you're not quite sure afterwards, you can go into the website, have a look, sandtontimes.co.za, and you can explore that in your own time. But to paint you a mental picture, it's a three-story cruise. It's a boat with three levels. You've got the bottom level, which has sort of mostly administrative. It's your reception. It's your gift shop. Then you've got your rooms, your luxury rooms on the second floor. And then on the third floor, you've got a massive lounge with a balcony. There's also a little a cocktail pool or a plunge pool with a deck, and then you've also got the restaurant up there as well. And it's panoramic views because most of the area upstairs is all glass. Even your room has got mostly sliding doors, and you look out onto the Chobe River. And the Chobe River, if you've never been, is an immense body of water. I mean, it's like, imagine just endless amounts of water just flowing. It connects these two countries, and left and right, you've just got wildlife from elephants to hippos and everything else in between. I mean, it's just unbelievable what you will see when you do get to do a visit. Now, Sean, those must be some of the things that make visiting the Zambezi Queen such a unique experience, because it's just unlike anything else.
Absolutely. I think the really unique feature of our vessels are that we are the only lodge or operation that can be on the water after sunset, okay, and before sunrise. All other vessels you'd see will race back close to sunset. They have to race back to their lodges. But because that's the reason we're based on the Namibian side of the river, so we are allowed to operate. Yes, we don't move after sunset because of the Chobe National Park rules, but by being there, you're first in the morning. You're up, you're seeing the beautiful sights and the game, the elephants, the crocs, the hippos, the bird life, which is, there's just immense numbers of these, buffaloes and more. And so we're very fortunate that we can be on the river 24 hours a day and are the only experience that actually allows that. And you sleep out there on the princesses or the queen on the river, on the Chobe River. So you've got 24 hours of game viewing, which is a lot more than your 2 or 3 hours that the other lodges get.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've got beautiful sunsets, beautiful sunrises. The food is fantastic. It's all inclusive. So you've got your breakfast, lunch, your supper and everything in between. And you've just also done a really great refurbishment of the Zambezi Queen. Sean, just tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes. You know, we take the vessel, we close the vessel for 2 weeks every year to do soft refurbs and fixing and maintenance. But this year, post-COVID, we decided to do a full refurb. And we literally gutted the entire vessel. So we changed every single piece of floor, either with a special laminate wood finish or a carpet. We replaced the ceiling in the entertainment area. We did all the air cons, we did all the furniture in the rooms, and we did every single piece of furniture in the entertainment area. So it was a massive refurb. It took about 6 weeks in total. And we used a designer called Moret van Essen, who has got a lot of experience in the lodge and safari industry. And our brief really to her was to restore and celebrate the Zambezi Queen and to give her grand old lady status back in true African fashion. And she did a fantastic job. She really did.
She did indeed. It's a very contemporary African feel. I think there's touches of Ardmore. There's all the luxuries you can imagine as well. You've got an air conditioning, you've got Wi-Fi, you've got a full-on bathroom. I mean, all of this in the middle of the Chobe River, in the middle of pretty much nowhere. It's really just so super. And just some of the things people can look forward to when you do this. I mean, you've got, morning and afternoon, I call them game drives, but they're not game drives. They're literally like a game drive on the water. And the Chobe River becomes the safari park that you get to explore on this high-speed tender, and you are literally meters away from elephants, from hippos, from buffalo, giraffes. I mean, 30, 40 giraffes on the riverbank, each getting some water. It really is just such an immense experience. I mean, it's just so different to your usual safari experience, and I can just recommend it to people to go out and experience it. If you're into birding, fishing, there's also those activities as well. And Sean Kritzinger, CEO of Zambezi Queen Collection, it's been such a pleasure chatting to you, and thank you for letting us explore your incredible part of the world.
Thank you. Yeah, we look forward to many more visits from our South African market, which are a very, very important market for us.
It's time for a quick break. We're going to have a quick musical break, and we're going to wrap up the show right after this.
The best of Santon and beyond.
You're listening to the Santon Times Hour.
This is the Santon Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and available on all good podcast platforms. That was Rima with Calm Down, taking us into the final stretch of this hour and taking you on a journey through our own SADC region and some of the freshest travel experiences on offer at the moment. We started the hour talking about taking a train journey up to Victoria Falls, over to Livingston, to the Royal Livingston, then up the river to the new Radisson Blue Livingston Resort, then a slight bit further to the Tinswalo at Siyankaba Lodge, and then crossing over to Botswana and then Namibia for a cruise up the Chobe River on the Zambezi Queen. And finally now, we end up back in Botswana, in Kasane, to wrap up our journey for the hour, to take a look at the Cresta Moana Safari Resort and Spa. It's on the banks of the Chobe River as well, and it's a lovely hotel. It's got a majestic baobab tree that must be hundreds, if not thousands of years old. And it's there at the center of reception as you walk in. And it's just really something else. If you've never seen a baobab tree before, you know, it's just one of those magical African plant species. Somebody said to me it's actually a succulent. And it's just one of those icons of Africa's natural wonders. And the hotel boasts a presidential suite. They also have an array of different rooms. They have a spa for those who enjoy a massage or three when you're on holiday. And also a list of activities. One of those is one of those safari cruises. So you get onto a bit of a pontoon. And once again, you cruise up and down the Chobe River and you get to see elephants, hippos, buffaloes, and so much more. But from a river perspective versus a land cruiser. And it's a game changer. Seeing wildlife from the water, as opposed to being, you know, in a truck or in a vehicle and sort of driving around, it's just such a different experience. You get, you just get a different perspective on it. And you know, when you watch the elephants cross the river from Namibia to Botswana and back, completely submerged. I mean, their head pops up once in a while. They've got their trunk out, using it almost like a snorkel. It's stuff I'd never seen before, and I must say it was truly a lifelong memory. The food at Cresta Moana, well, they did a fantastic spread, a nice buffet spread, and the team also did a great job in looking after the team for a night before it was time to head home, back to Sandton. And on a side note, I have to say that Kasane has a really beautiful modern airport, very accessible. So getting to Botswana and back in just 90 minutes flight is, you know, from Johannesburg is really fantastic. I mean, really world class. Well, the hour's almost up, and I hope you enjoyed the last hour, and I trust it'll inspire you to maybe venture into some of our neighboring countries and add some of the exciting new developments onto your future journey wish list. And as promised, all the details will be up on the Sandton Times website after the show. That's it for the Sandton Times Hour on Mix 93.8 and is always available as a podcast on the various podcast platforms. If you want to get in touch, you can email editor@sandtontimes.co.za or visit the social media accounts @SandtonTimes and then also the website www.sandtontimes.co.za, and feel free to send through your questions or comments. Thank you to our guests who made time to be on the show this week, and also Vincenzo, thank you for traveling along, journeying along, and helping me collect and bring this all together this week. And we'll do this again next week. And thank you to the Sandton Times team, as well as everyone at Mix 93.8. And of course, to you. Thank you for listening. And let's connect again next week.
That's it for this week.
Thanks for listening to the Sandton Times Hour. And if you enjoyed it, be sure to share it.